Praise the Lord. Welcome to today's session. I am Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today. If this is your first time, we are in the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is a verse-by-verse or expository Bible study. If you have been following me for some time, thank you. And I trust the Lord you continue to be blessed, and please share these teachings with others, share this link. And I highly recommend you listen to the entire session and get the best out of it. Okay, so we continue here in the Gospel of Luke. We are in chapter 10 today. Jesus is Lord. So what is the gist of these upcoming verses? We are going to learn how the Lord Jesus sent out 72 more disciples to preach the kingdom of God. And we are going to learn about the specific instructions he gave them. And these instructions are very similar to the instructions that we discussed in Luke chapter 9 that he gave to the 12 disciples that he sent out to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, okay? And these instructions are still relevant to us today because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we continue here, Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Okay, so we see how the Lord Jesus had 72 other followers or disciples besides the 12. And he is also giving them delegated power and authority to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. He sent them two by two because obviously when you go out in twos, there is more power, there is more support than you just going out alone. Obviously, even if you go alone, you have the power of God in you, but this is God's preference. He sent them out two by two for that support, accountability, to go preach the kingdom of God. So now, we continue here in verse 2. He told them, he is about to give them specific instructions. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. This is amazing how the Lord Jesus was praying to God the Father, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So already we are learning that the very first thing we do before we even step out into the missionary field, before we even step out in outreach or any kind of event out into the public for the name of the Lord, we have to pray. Very relevant, very important. We just have to pray that God would open people's hearts to serve, because the harvest is plentiful, oh boy, but the workers are few. This is so true today in the 21st century. We have people suffering today. People are dying and going to hell. People are deceived by the evil one. We live in a day and age where we have abundance of information, but people don't have godly wisdom or revelation. People are seeking the truth. People need help. The harvest is plentiful, so we should constantly be praying for God to enable us to step out in faith along with others to preach Christ. Even in our own ministry here, we have some outreach programs planned out, and I continue to pray for God to bring people to help us to get out there. Because people need to hear the truth, and if we don't step out as we pray and trust God, these people, many people will die and go to hell. So continue to pray that the Lord would bring people in your path that will help you to step out in faith and preach Christ to others, because the harvest is plentiful. And friend, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to serve. So Jesus Christ is speaking to you today. As a servant of God, you are a worker. So volunteer at your local church, at local ministries that are stepping out in faith and doing outreaches to proclaim Christ. Okay? Okay, verse 3, go, the Lord Jesus begins with his instructions. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Exactly. It's wicked out there. As we step out to preach Christ, we will meet opposition. We will meet resistance. We will meet rejection, but know that Jesus Christ encounter all these various types of rejections. So Jesus Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He will help us to deal with this. So we should not be afraid. We should not shy away from stepping out in faith and preaching Christ, because it is wicked out there. It will always be wicked out there, but greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So even though it is wicked out there, you have God in you. You are an overcomer, because it will be the Holy Spirit working through you. So now the Lord Jesus had told them that he's sending them out like lambs among wolves. He's going to give them specific instructions now. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Well, the Lord Jesus is not saying that they should not be friendly. No, no. The Lord Jesus is just training them to be focused. The Lord Jesus is just training them to be wise, how they interact with people. And that is still the same today. When we step out there to preach Christ, we have to use discernment and wisdom to discern the spirit of the evil one trying to come among us. And we have to be alert to all that. So, of course, we go in the love of Christ, but we have to use discernment, okay? Then, why do you think the Lord Jesus gave these specific instructions to these 72 disciples not to carry with them any purse, bag, sandals to this missionary trip? Well, think about this. If they were to carry a purse, a bag, or a sandal, that would mean, obviously, the bag for food and the sandals, just in case what they were wearing got worn out, etc. But here is a principle. The Lord Jesus did not want them to carry any provisions throughout this trip, because he was training them to be dependent on God the Father and himself for their provisions throughout this trip. You get this, right? Friend, here's a principle. Whenever God calls us to engage in some kind of task, i.e. as a missionary, Bible teacher, pastor, when God gives us a vision, God is obligated by his faithfulness to bring about the provision. We are called to trust him, to depend on him, and the provisions will come. That is the lesson here. Okay, so when you step out in faith to trust God to get into the mission field or to start a church, whatever you're doing for God's sake, trust God to bring the provision in the form of the money, the food, the workers to help you fulfill that vision. God will do it. I hope you get this. Verse 5, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is like, go in the peace of God. Go to the houses door by door and just bring the peace of God to that house. And if someone is there who is for peace, they will welcome you in. Let them in. If you go somewhere where you bring the peace of God and they do not welcome you, it's okay. Go to the next one. Take your peace with you. We have to share Christ only with those who are willing and open to receive it. Again, remember, we would meet resistance. We would meet rejection, but we move on to the next person. Verse 7, stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wage. His wages rather. So the Lord is like, when you go out into this outreach or missionary event and you get into a house, you bring your peace into that house, they let you in, you stay there and you eat whatever they put in front of you, receive their generosity, receive their kindness, receive it. Don't be picky. Don't complain. Receive it with gladness of heart, because the worker deserves their wages. You are there to preach Christ, and if they want to bless you with food and hospitality, receive it. No complaining. That's really what this is all about. This is so relevant today, especially as missionaries, when they step out in foreign land to preach Christ, and someone welcomes them into the home and puts food in front of them, friend, you know, with gladness, with a heart of appreciation, receive it. Don't complain and don't start making demanding on the people or demands on the people rather. So just receive it. That's what the Lord Jesus is just teaching here, that we should receive people's kindness without complaining. Okay? Do not move around from house to house. Exactly. Why do you think the Lord gave this instruction? Because the Lord is like, when you get out there into the missionary field, a home welcomes you, they receive your peace. Stay there, eat whatever they put in front of you. Stay in that house. Don't keep going from home to home for a few reasons. Number one, going from home to home will actually distract you. It would distract the 72. And number two, they would give an impression that they are looking for specific homes to stay. They are looking for certain types of requirement out of certain homes. And that could cause dissatisfaction from the homeowners. They could feel rejected. So the Lord is like, wherever you go, if they welcome you, just stay there. Be content where you are. That's it here. The principle of contentment. Don't go from house to house looking for something different or something better. Be focused on the mission in one house. You stay there. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So, I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously, because these two books have blessed hundreds of people. So, the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So, the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more, if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, Who is the Real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? Would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10. Okay, so again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA, because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App, and the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Or if you just want to bless us with a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you. And God is so faithful that he will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. Okay, we move on to verse 8. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Exactly. Just receive the food with gladness, with the spirit of appreciation. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. The Lord is like, get out there and heal the sick. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. These instructions are still acutely relevant right now in the 21st century. We are still called to go door to door to proclaim Christ, to bring the peace of Christ and the joy of Christ to people's homes, and to lay hands on them and pray for healing. Healing and miracles have not passed away. We are still, this is all part of the Great Commission. This is all part of teaching Christ. We have to pray for healing and for sicknesses and diseases to leave people's bodies and cast out demonic spirits, because it's a power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. So next time you step out there in faith to do your door-to-door evangelism, or you are a missionary, by faith, lay hands on the sick. And trust healing virtue to flow and for them to receive their healing, because that is God's will. So we are now in verse 10. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into a street and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Exactly. So when you go to a town, to a village, to a home, and they reject you, wipe the dust off of your feet. In essence, again, this is a tradition that the Jews had. They would do this with the Samaritans. In the previous chapter, I talked about the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans, and the Jews, they were enemies. And the Jews had a habit, a cultural habit, that they would shake the dust off of their feet as a sign to say, I have no relationship with you. I cut off from you. I want nothing to do with you. Okay? So we see the Lord Jesus putting this principle here. When you go to someone's house or a town or a village to go minister and they reject you, don't force it. When God closes a door, leave it closed. When God opens a door, walk into that door with the grace of God. When a door is shut, i.e. when someone tells you they don't want to hear Christ, well, you move on to the next one. Just shake the dust off your feet and tell them their blood is not on your hands. You plant that seed, you love on them, and you move on to the next one. And you just let God to deal with them. You don't call upon judgment. You don't pass judgment. You just gently move on and trust God with the rest. Okay, so the Lord Jesus had said that if they are rejected, they should wipe the dust off their feet. And then he continued, yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Exactly. The Lord Jesus is saying that if a town rejects you, a household rejects you, wipe the dust off of your feet, move to the next one, it would be worse on the day of judgment for that town than for Sodom. Why is this? Sodom was discussed in Genesis chapter 19. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom is associated with wicked evilness, and the Lord destroyed that city. So the Lord Jesus is saying that the town or village that rejects you when you go to preach the kingdom of God, wow, he is saying that it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town that rejects you, because the town that is rejecting you, they are hearing the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God firsthand from you. You are coming to them with the peace of God, the love of God, and with the good news, yet they are rejecting you firsthand. So they're going to have greater punishment than Sodom that didn't have that firsthand witness of the kingdom of God being preached to them. Yet the Lord God destroyed that city because of wickedness. So we see here how there are different levels of punishment. To whom much is given, much is expected. Exactly. So we see how these towns that would reject these 72 disciples, they would have a greater punishment because they heard the kingdom of God firsthand, they rejected it, compared to Sodom that didn't have this opportunity. Again, that principle. In this case, much is given to these towns that the 72 apostles are going home to home in the power of Jesus Christ. Much is given because they are rejecting Jesus Christ's presence right there. So that is the much that is given to them. They have first-hand revelation. They have first-hand knowledge, yet they reject that. That is a law that Sodom didn't even have. So they would endure greater punishment. You get it, right? Okay. Verse 13, the Lord would continue now to list other cities that he would condemn because they would reject the preaching of the kingdom of God. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Again, the same principle here. Tyre and Sidon are discussed in the book of Ezekiel, chapters 26 through 28. Again, these are wicked cities that the Lord God destroyed. So the Lord Jesus is making this comparison here that all these cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, that heard the gospel message firsthand, they rejected that. They would have greater punishment than Tyre and Sidon. That's really the principle here that the Lord Jesus is saying. So based on the Lord Jesus' comment, it is pretty much clear that Tyre and Sidon, actually, if they had heard the message of the kingdom of God, they would have repented in ashes and sackcloth. That is exactly what the Lord Jesus is saying here. Let me just reread that. Verse 14. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is like, Tyre and Sidon would have a bearable judgment than the cities or towns I just mentioned, Bethsaida, Chorazin, that outrightly rejected the Lord Jesus' message. Again, that whole principle that I just explained, to whom much is given, much is expected. And the Lord Jesus continued here in verse 15, and you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Exactly. Again, go down to Hades, punishment, you're going to go down to hell. So, Capernaum back then was a very busy industrial city that had a lot of people come in and out of it, and the Lord Jesus did a lot of his ministry there. And in fact, history tells us that the disciple who later became Apostle Matthew had his tax booth there. So Capernaum had a lot of opportunity to receive the teachings and ministry of Jesus Christ because it was a busy city. So the Lord Jesus is saying that this Capernaum rejected his message. So they also will endure great punishment on the day of judgment. Again, the whole principle that they had Jesus, they had the witness of God in front of them, yet they rejected that. Verse 16, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Exactly. I like the way the Lord Jesus ended these instructions, that those who would reject the message from the 72 disciples that he is sending out are indeed rejecting him, Jesus Christ, and rejecting God the Father. That is still the same today. When we preach Christ, the kingdom of God, and people reject the message or reject us, it's not really us they're rejecting. They're rejecting the message of God. They are rejecting the message of the kingdom of God. And here's how I say it. When you are preaching the message of Christ truthfully, you're preaching the word of God, you're proclaiming Christ, you're declaring Christ to people, one of three things will happen. People who are sinners, who are living in sin, practicing sin, unbelievers, and their hearts are opened, the Holy Spirit will start to condemn them of their sinful nature. It is the Holy Spirit that would do the pricking of their hearts, of the unbelievers and sinners, and then their heart would be open to receive the message and then give their life to Christ. The second reaction is a believer who is living in sin. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit would use that message to convict you to repent. Okay, and then the third response that you normally would get when the kingdom of God is being proclaimed is that of affirmation, confirmation that the Holy Spirit would affirm the truths in your heart. So I said that to say it's really when people reject you, people's reactions to the message of the kingdom of God is really not to you. Don't take it personally. They are just rejecting the promptings, the conviction from the Holy Spirit, or the condemnation from the Holy Spirit if they are sinners and if they do not have a relationship with God and if they are unbelievers. So when people feel condemned when you preach the gospel and they are not believers, that's just the Holy Spirit bringing to their remembrance their sinful nature and their need for a Redeemer, Jesus Christ. So don't take it personal, okay? Again, just to remind you, as a child of God, the Holy Spirit will never, never, never condemn you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 teaches that clearly, that there is no condemnation. So the Holy Spirit will never condemn you. God will never condemn you as a follower of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will gently convict you of some change that needs to take place in your life, and it's a gentle conviction. And that way you can hit to that conviction and make some changes. That would be good for you. Again, for the unbeliever, it comes more like a condemnation of their sinful lifestyle so they can repent. So don't get confused between conviction and condemnation. Again, as a child of God, the Holy Spirit, God will never condemn you, because Romans 8 says, now therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. So that brings us to the end of this session. I want to end it here, because the next verse here in verse 17 picks it up with the disciples' report to the Lord Jesus on their return from the missionary trip. There is a lot there that applies to us today and a lot of principles we can learn. So I will pick that up next time. So what are the major principles and applications we have learned from these first 16 verses out of the Gospel of Luke? Number one, trusting God in your missionary trips, depending on God to open the doors. The Lord Jesus just went over these instructions with the 72 disciples, telling them not to bring along any food, anything in the journey, trusting that others would meet their needs. That is still the same. We trust God for provisions when we step out in faith to proclaim Christ. And number two, not to take rejection personally, because it is God, the Holy Spirit, who is responsible for convicting those of us who are believers, so change can be adhered to. And it is the Holy Spirit's job to reveal the sinful nature of the sinners, unbelievers, so they can repent. So don't take the response or the reaction of people personally. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that is all I want to share with you. So let us just thank God for his goodness. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is the one enabling us to step out in faith to proclaim Christ to others. Father, for all those who've listened to me today who are pondering and stepping out in missionary fields and stepping out in outreaches, I pray you give them discernment and wisdom and boldness to step out in faith and proclaim Christ, because it will be you walking in and through them. I pray that you open doors for them to proclaim this message. I pray for supernatural wisdom as they move around evangelizing and raising awareness about your goodness. I pray that all those that they would encounter, they have an open heart to receive this message. I pray that you just embolden them not to receive rejection personally, to cast it upon you. I pray for your continuous provision protection over their lives. We have prayed all this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody says, Amen. God loves you. Please listen to the announcer and learn how you can get involved with this ministry and enable God to use you. Join hands with us to proclaim the kingdom of God to the world. And friend, we just ask that you open your heart and bless us with a one-time donation or to become a Christ-centered partner. That way you can give into this fruitful ministry and trust God to multiply your giving as we spread the kingdom of God. And God in his faithfulness will bless you back abundantly. We thank you in advance for this consideration. So please listen to the announcer for more information how you can give into this ministry and how you can become a partner. God loves you.
Friend, as some of you already know, this program is financially supported 100% by love gifts from listeners like yourself. So please, would you help us with a donation so that we can produce more programs and bless others? We need your financial support. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address. info@drruthtanyi.org. That's I-N-F-O. At drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government approved 501c corporation, which means that all of your donations are 100% tax deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed and goodbye for now.